This is Tech Shift. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Coming up, we're talking transparency, Chicago police data, and the Home and Square story. But first, some top tech stories today. Apple has unveiled its new Apple Watch, including a $10,000 gold edition. At the same event, HBO announced HBO Now. That's a new online-only service that will cost $15 a month. And President Obama has announced a new $100 million initiative to train and hire more high-tech workers. Here in Chicago, if you go to the city's data portal, you'll find a database of more than 5 million crimes reported in the city since 2001. It's one of the largest sets of its kind in the country and a major success in the history of open data. But recently, the Chicago Police Department has received more attention for information they aren't releasing. I'm talking about allegations of off-the-books activity at the Chicago Police Department's Home and Square facility. And it's called into question just how open the city has been. Dan O'Neill has been a key part of the city's open data community for years, including helping to found Every Block, and is now executive director of the Smart Chicago Collaborative. He's back now to talk about this issue. Dan, it's always great to have you back here.
Great to be here.
You know, as someone who's been so invested in the open data movement, I wonder, what were your feelings when you read that first Guardian story about Home and Square?
When I read that story, it didn't feel good. It kind of made, especially that off the books concept made me feel a little bit like a punk, I guess.
And when you say that, I mean, you felt like you were punked. I think that's because of the history of the other data that is available, right?
Correct. I mean, I'm a big fan of the idea and the policy of open data. I pushed for it in my career. And basically, it was we ran right up against the limits of open data. Into the idea that some things are just not publishable. And to be fair, the data that's published on the city's data portal, the crime data, has always been limited, and the city's always been upfront about those limitations.
Well, and you said, though, that you felt punked, right? And you wrote about this on your blog, and you brought up a phrase from Aaron Schwartz I wanted to bring up. He said, "Transparency is bunk."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does that mean to you in light of everything that's happened in the past couple of weeks?
What it means is that open data and the general idea that if we release data, then steps 2 through 10 will then occur, like people will then make apps and it will improve the lives of people. It may not be true. I think that we had a theory not that long ago, a few years ago, in the transparency movement and the open data movement, that was enough, that the publication of data would kick off all of these this virtuous stream. And I think that we've failed, and that includes me and my work, and that's why I think we've over the last couple years tried to change that.
So where do you go from here?
Where we go from here is not have a data first, tech first, lookup tool first solution for civic tech and for solving the problems of real people. If you want to solve the problems of real people, if you want more justice in the world, you have to start with people and find out what they know. I mean, what is crime data but an expression of the actions of the humans here in Chicago? People employed by the city as police officers, people who call the police, people who are victims of crimes. It's the most human possible manifestation of our data. But if you look at the data that's published, and again, this is fair. This is what we've asked for in the open data movement, is that kind of published that's de-identified, that does not include, people's personal information and the terrible things that happen to them. I guess I question the value of that when all we can do is walk outside and talk to people and find out what is it that is affecting you as a resident.
I mean, Dan, you're talking about people. I mean, you're one of the leaders of the civic tech community here in Chicago. Would you say that the Guardian reporting and other reporting that has since now come out, do you feel like that has that other people in the civic tech community have had a similar reaction to you? It sounds like this has been a really significant event for how you think about data going forward.
It has. And I have been thinking about this. Actually, we've talked about it here, this idea that data is not enough. But I think it was a real inflection point, that issue. And again, that phrase of off the books. I think and I hope that that it is a point where those of us in the civic tech movement can focus more, less on data and more on people. We do that at the Smart Chicago Collaborative, some of the recent projects where we partner with people who can analyze the data, people who can, and frankly, a lot of the things that you do here at WBEZ, reporters who go beyond the data in order to find out the real stories. The Chicago Sun-Times won a Pulitzer Prize on the matter, using crime data to dive deeper into stories behind crimes.
You know, Dan, recently the Crime in Wrigleyville blog showed certain crimes were missing from the data portal. How do you think that fits into this issue? Maybe you can tell us about those crimes.
Well, that's a great example. I think that blog, the people who run that blog did a great service. They used civic data to look up some specific crime reports and failed to find them. And they called out that fact, and it led to the addition of more data on the portal because, to make a long story short, as I understand it, there's a flag called confidential that someone in the police can mark an item as confidential. And then
if mayor's son is involved in a crime.
That was one of the 118 items, and there are others. And I think that the police department has a right to operate the way they see fit in controlling information on cases that are of great interest and not have, you know, individual police officers being able to just look into a piece of software and tell anybody.
Would you say that this incident has re-energized or has it reinvigorated the civic tech community in a way that you wouldn't have anticipated?
I hope so. And I think that the path is actually quite clear, and that, yes, I do hope that this does reinvigorate and move us away from what I would call derisive way, the technobabble wing of the civic tech industry into the people-focused wing.
That's Dan O'Neill with Smart Chicago Collaborative. Dan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.